Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23. 2 Samuel, chapter 23. We'll read verses 3 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Samuel, chapter 23, verses 3 through 5. Samuel 23, verses 3 through 5. The God of Israel said, "The Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth, by a clear shining after rain." And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? "Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow." And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for our church. Lord, what a wonderful thing it is to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, gather around your word that will instruct us and teach us from a man of God that's not afraid to tell us the truth. So, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, change our lives so that we could go out and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The title of my sermon this evening is Spring Fever. Spring Fever. Earlier, you read with Brother Bush from 2 Samuel chapter number 23. The words that you read were some of the last words of David. Of course, David, the son of Jesse, later the king, a man that was anointed by God. They called him the sweet psalmist. He spoke the words in the power of the Holy Spirit. It was God's words that came out of his mouth. And as you were reading, though it may not have jumped off the page at you, he mentions the season of spring. He refers to the season of spring. I looked in the Webster Dictionary to define the word spring. It said the season between winter and summer. It said a time of sudden movement upward, a time of quick growing, a time when something is suddenly made known, bud time. Now, not the kind of bud you're thinking of right now, not Budweiser, Bud Stupider, but a time of the budding of the plants, the emergence of grass and stem. Let me read to you 2 Samuel 23:4. It says, "And he shall be as the light of the morning." And, of course, probably referring to Jesus Christ and comparing him to the freshness of spring. "When the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear sunshining after rain." Now notice this. This is all referring to the springtime. It says, "And he shall be as the light of the morning with the sun riseth." Sunny mornings and bright, clean, fresh mornings. That's what spring is like. It talks about as the tender grass. It's talking about new grass growing up. Of course, the grass begins to turn green. And anybody here, if you're going to plant some grass, we're near that time when you get that grass seed out there so that fresh grass can come up. A new fresh growth of grass. It talks about the grass is springing out of the earth. Now, there's where spring actually comes from. We call it spring because new things are springing up, and here's the springing out of the earth of the new grass, and that's where we get spring. It's a time when grass and flowers come forth. The time change. We experience a time change here, and we talk about springing forward in spring and falling backward in the fall. Now, it goes on in this same passage. It talks about by clear shining after rain. It's a time of rain. The rain, of course, feeds the grass, and we have what we know. You've heard the saying, April showers bring May flowers. That's the springtime. It's a refreshing time of growth and good growth. It's a delightful time. It's a spring cleaning time. It's a time when nature moves forward obeying God. It's a time of a fresh breeze that carries the scent of the sweet flowers and the freshness of life. I remember when I was a boy, was kind of searching my mind for the springtime, and there was something that just kept coming back to me. And though it'll be little to you, in my mind, it is as if it were just recently, and it was big to me. I remember when the spring would come, Mom could not wait to be able to start hanging our sheets and our clothing back out on the clothesline again. I'll never forget, you could tell a big difference in my sheets and my pillowcase. The first time Mom brought them in off the clothesline in the spring. Can anybody raise your hand and say, Brother Owens, I know exactly what you, thank you very much. I just want to make sure I wasn't hanging up here to dry by myself. But I could remember. I'd climb into those sheets and they were so fresh and so different. Downy can't make that happen like God can make it happen by watching something hang out there and in that breeze just dry by nature. I remember that about spring. Now, David is describing probably something about Christ as a leader. He talks about the spring and the freshness and the growth. But then he says this, David says this in verse number 5. He says, although my house not be so with God. He says, in this season, my family is not as refreshingly spiritual or moving forward like I wish they were. Again, the words he uses, although my house be not so with God. Could it be that in David's day they suffered the dreaded disease of spring fever? Could it be that spring fever was affecting David or the household of David? Or I don't know if maybe he was talking about the house of God at that time. I'm not sure. It's not clear. But this thing called spring fever. Now, wait a minute. The word fever. I looked it up again. A fever. It's a disease which is, its chief symptom is a state of heightened emotion, activity, or temperature. Now the spring season can be wonderful and it can be refreshing if it's handled spiritually and with spiritual purpose. David said, but that wasn't happening. He said, in this season of David's life, he said, all the growth and the refreshment and the newness and the blessing of God. He said, but I didn't notice that happening at this time in my life, said David. Spring fever, if it is a fever, then it could make you spiritually sick if you don't handle it right. Hey, if we put God's spiritual thermometer in your mouth, would he find you becoming ill spiritually due to spring fever? I'm going to give you some practical thoughts about the spring. I'm going to give you some thoughts about spring fever so that you don't find yourself spiritually ill because of that fever that may be brought on in the spring. For instance, spring fever can make your finances sick if you're not careful. I'll read a verse to you. It's found in Genesis 47:18. A little portion of that verse stuck out in my mind. It says this, when that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, we will not hide it from my Lord how that our money is spent. Now here's somebody that said to the Lord, or their Lord at that time said, we're not going to hide it from you. All our money is gone. We blew it. It's all gone. Matter of fact, he goes on to say, the only thing we have left are our bodies. We basically spin it all. Now folks, let me tell you something about the spring. The spring is one of those seasons where you can become unwise in your spending. That's something that happens. It goes along with the spring fever. You know what all the car lots are doing right now? They're cleaning up and waxing up and polishing up, and they're going to shove those sports cars and those fancy cars right up front so you drive by and you got that wind blowing in your hair. You smell the breeze. Some of you 50-year-old men are thinking, oh, well, give me one of them cars and women are going to look at me. Buddy, a car ain't going to fix your problem whatsoever. But the car lots are getting the products all ready. They're getting them rag tops out, those convertibles. And they're not bad. I don't think that's bad at all. If you got one you want to give me, I'll take it. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. Spring is a time when the spring fever in regard to vehicles takes over. Be careful. You're going to have to make payments on whatever you purchase. You be careful. Listen, one of the biggest expenditures in the common life is a vehicle. And if you're not careful, you get spring fever. You run out and you buy you something that you think is flashy and you got all the reasons behind it. And then you don't realize that you can't put the convertible top down the other three quarters of the year. And you go out and spend that money, but we are so quick in the spring to go spend money. You pray about before you buy a car. You ought to pray about it. You ought to make sure. You ought to sit down and you ought to sleep on it overnight. Boy, when you're there at that car lot and the guy says to me, if he says to you, today and today only on this price, I'd be real careful. He knows he's shoving you and pushing you. You might need to say, I need to sleep on this thing. And overnight, you're liable to have bank account nightmares. And maybe God will come to you in a vision in the night and make you realize you can't afford it. Nothing wrong with having a nice car. Nothing wrong with having a new car. Nothing wrong with having a convertible. But you be careful. Especially those of you that are going through your midlife crisis and you think somehow getting that flashy car is going to flash up your life. No, it probably won't. You just be careful. Use some good sense. Oh, this part of the year comes and we want to spend on the house and spend on our yard. And again, I'm for you. I'm for you cleaning up the yard. There'd be some that wouldn't hurt you to get about 10 of those cars out of your backyard. I'm for you cleaning up your yard. And I'm for you cleaning up your house. But folks, be careful now. Use some good sense financially. Hey, look, you can't do everything you want to do now. Be wise for some of you young couples to stop going so deep in debt and do it a little bit at a time. My son Joshua and I were talking today. We're talking about he's doing some work on his house. He and his wife are new homeowners in the last couple years. And I said, just take your time. Do a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there. He said, but Brother Owens, the bank told me they'd lend me money. Yeah, they will lend you money because they're out to make money. Just like, did you know that a car dealer will sell you a car? They will. Anybody making money off of you will help you to let them make money off of you. But you be careful. Watch out for those vacations you can't afford. I'm going to say something, and somebody here is going to get mad at me, but God knows another one isn't going to hurt. Somebody, you better be careful buying these timeshares all the time. I'm not against somebody buying a timeshare, but I'm going to tell you something. I counsel in my office probably once a month for the last 4 years, somebody's come to me and said, but I got this timeshare thing, and I just can't afford to make the payments on it. I just can't afford it. Now, I'm not against timeshares, but I can tell you right now of probably 25 families that would give anything to get you to buy theirs. Just, hey, if you can afford it, great. But if you can't, be careful now. Oh, and they will wine you and dine you and make you feel like you're getting the bargain of the century. Just be careful now. You be careful. Wasting your tax return. You know, you look forward to that big tax check and you know there's bills you ought to pay, but you get it and before you know it, it's all gone. And you didn't pay the bills. You still owe the Christian school. And I'm not here trying to raise money for my Christian school. But you went out and you bought you something new and fancy and shiny that you didn't need and didn't pay for your child's education like you should have. You didn't pay those bills, but you wasted it. But then you think, I've got to get me a new wardrobe. Now, there might be some of you that need the new wardrobe because the old one doesn't fit anymore. You know, that happens when you go into hibernation over the winter. Boy, we got to get the new styles and all of that. You know, something I'll never forget. My wife, when she was growing up, there was a lady that lived across the street that was kind of an adopted grandma for her. Her name was Tilly. Her name was Matilda, but we called her Tilly. And I remember that when Tilly was growing older, we were trying to watch out and care for Tilly. And I remember that we went out and bought Tilly a new dress one time. And it was a big deal to us and a big deal to her. Tilly took that dress to her closet and hung it. And she said, as soon as I feel like I need that new dress, I'll start wearing it. You know what she had hanging in her closet? She had about 6 dresses hanging in there. That's it. That's all Tilly wore, by the way. She wore skirts and dresses. But all she had was 6 dresses. She had 3 for the spring and the summer, 3 for the winter. Wore them over and over and over and over and over again. She was hanging up the new dress because she said, sooner I have wore out the old one, I'll go to the new one. Well, by the way, that's the generation that paid their bills on time. They knew that clothing was to clothe the body, not to make a statement. Hey, and I'm for you having clothes. I really am. I want you all to have clothes. I prefer that. First of all, I prefer it because it's godly. Secondly, I prefer it just because it's doing the rest of us a favor. But watch out now. spring hits, and JCPenney's has their spring sale. You're thinking about all the money you're going to save by spending all that money. Watch out, spring fever can make your finances sick. Secondly, spring fever can make the youth sick. Young people, you listen to me now. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. God is saying you need to be extra cautious in your youth. When you're young, be extra careful. Young people see that the spring has sprung and they're ready to go outside and make something happen. That's not bad. God knows our youth need to get outside. They need to get off the computer games and take the headset off their ears so you can hear what's going on. Send them outside. Let them go out and cut down a tree or chase a rabbit or something. But this generation desperately needs to be out of doors. But young people, you don't start skipping school because spring is here. For some of you, you can't afford to skip school. You need to be there every day. Say, why? Well, you're failing in your classes and to miss a day because you want to go out and eat butterflies. It's not going to be good for you. Don't go play ball instead of doing your homework. And I'm for you playing ball. I think every young man, I think he ought to know how to throw a baseball and dribble a basketball. And I think he ought to do that. But at the same time, I think you need to do your homework. And watch out, young people. The spring is here. Some of you that are struggling with your grades, hey, I'm all for you going out and fishing. I'm for you hunting. I'm for you having fun. I'm for you, Dad, stay with me now. I'm for you cutting the wood. I'm for you mowing the yard and washing the car and cleaning the garage. I'm for that. I'm for that. And if you won't do it, your mom can do it. But I'm for that. But I'm telling you, keep your homework up. Now listen. We're at the home stretch. It's not, you're gonna hear it in just a few weeks in May. We're gonna get to the end of the school year and you're gonna get promoted or you're gonna graduate. Now you can make it. You can do this, but you can't let spring get to you so much, young people, that you start failing in your classes. Don't go riding bikes instead of passing your English class. Young people, when spring fever hits, they get to the point where they don't want to pay attention in class. And so their grades start going down. Young people who get spring fever suddenly come out of hibernation like a bear, and they've got a burst of energy. But be careful that energy is not misused. It can get you in trouble in school. Get those extra demerits. You get ants in your pants, or ants in your skirt, or however you ought to say it. But you get fidgety, and you don't pay attention, and so you're going to get yourself into trouble. So young people, be careful now. Spring fever can get you into trouble. Number three, spring fever can bring the disease of unfaithfulness to right things. Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2, it says, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. God is a perfect example of faithfulness, and He sets faithfulness example for us so that we too will be faithful. Hey, make sure you stay faithful to those commitments and responsibilities of life. Watch out for the spring. You see, the spring brings a desire for a change of routine. Kind of been locked in the house and suddenly you can change your routine and launch out and get out of doors. But you have to be careful now. If you're not careful, not only will spring come you'll lose your rhythm in your responsibilities. Don't let spring fever cause you to become unfaithful to work. Hey, grown, adult, Christian, the spring's here. You going to start missing work? Now look, you got to be faithful. You got to go to work and go to work on time and be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. Don't let spring fever cause you to become unfaithful to your schooling. Don't let spring fever cause you to become unfaithful to your ministry. Make sure you're faithful to the bus ministry. You're supposed to be at the Saturday morning meetings. You be there. Make sure you're faithful to visiting your Sunday school class. Don't let spring fever cause you to become unfaithful in your soul winning. Don't let spring fever cause you to become unfaithful in church. Hey, listen, I don't say this because I'm getting something or trying to get something out of you. I'm trying to put something in you. But, you know, I'll watch spring come. There'll be people who stay home from church on Sunday night or Wednesday night to do yard work. That's not right. That's right. There's a way for you to do your yard work and not miss serving God. Be careful going off to the lake on church times. You heard about the preacher that named his boat Visitation? So anytime somebody called into the church, his secretary would say, well, he's out on visitation. You say, well, I can pray to God while I'm on my boat. I don't have to be in church. Well, you might want to be careful. Somebody out there might think you're fishing.
Right.
Don't let the lake cause you to become unfaithful to God. Don't let spring fever cause you to lose your job. I meet adults all the time. The spring hits. Boy, they lose track of maturity and the responsibilities of life. They lose jobs. They mess up their lives. Be careful now. It's called spring fever. I say to you, spring fever can mess up your finances. Spring fever can make a mess of our youth. Spring fever can bring the disease of unfaithfulness. I hate it, but spring fever can bring immorality into life. Leviticus 18:6 says, none of you shall approach to any that is near to kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. You know, there's a connection between nakedness and sin. The spring and the summer is that time when everybody wants to strip down and start showing their bodies off. It's here. Those of you that are moral women, you're just now starting to say, oh great, here we go again. I got to worry about what my husband's going to see. Your people are going to start stripping down. The farther one gets into sin, the more their clothes that they take off. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9 says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly array. The word shamefacedness there means, it's a Greek word, agos. It means blushes towards men. A woman ought to blush toward men, meaning they're not drawing attention to their bodies, they downplay their bodies because they blush at the thought of men checking them out. That means they don't advertise their bodies. There's two ways of doing it. By unclothing your body or wrapping your body so tight that a man sees your figure. So in the spring, we need to be careful that we don't start stripping down like the world. Keep yourself covered up. And there, hey, I'll just say this. There's some of you women, you wear your clothes way too tight. Wear your tops so tight it's ridiculous. What are you doing? You're showing off your body. You should push away the thought of men checking out your body. You shouldn't want that. You should protect that. That's for your husband. What does modest mean? It means chaste. It means decent. It means not displaying the body. This is a time of year when people start stripping their clothes down. The fewer clothes one wears, usually, the less spiritual they are. And if you'll check, the person right now that's bothered the most about this are not the people that come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and read their Bible, and pray on a regular basis, and go soul winning, and love God. It's the ones that say, that's what
I don't like about you, Brother Owens.
Yeah, well, what you don't like about me is that I point out your need of God. And your conscience will bother you. It's not me that you're going to get mad at. Wait till you get to heaven and see how you have to dress up there. And God will slap your face when you go rolling your eyes up there. Oh, everybody wants to strip down and go to the beach. The less modest the clothes, the more the lust. And so what happens? This is a time of the year where adultery springs up, and nudity springs up, and temptation springs up. Notice this, though. Notice when spring hits, nature, or better known as God, He clothes things.
Amen.
What does God do in the spring?
Yes,
He covers things. The trees are covered with leaves. The ground is covered with grass. The stems are covered with flowers. And man says, I want to do the exact opposite. I'm stripping off instead of covering up. Just look at the spring and the summer. Don't let spring fever cause you to become immoral. Don't let spring fever cause your eyes to wander, men. Hey, watch out for spring fever. Watch out now. And so you all know, preachers used to preach like this all the time. I'm just piddling right now. You know, this isn't tough stuff. It's not tough stuff at all. But all preachers used to stand for something, not afraid to get up and talk about indecency and nudity and masculinity on women and femininity on men. Watch out for spring fever. Hey, watch out what kind of cookouts or outdoor parties you go to, where everybody's drinking and they're playing the rock and roll and dancing. You shouldn't be going to that sort of a thing. Those of you that are stuck in a public school somewhere, you shouldn't be going to their proms. This is what happens in spring with their rock and roll full of all the lost people and the dancing and the devil and the immorality and the booze and the drugs. You say, well, they don't do it bad at my public school. You're full of prunes.
Right.
They don't do that. They were doing that back in the 50s and 60s in the public schools. You're telling me they're in better shape now? Not at all. Hey, don't have your immoral spring fling.
Right.
What's it called? Well, you've all heard it. Spring fever. Now, that word spring is talking about this time of the year. Fever means something's happening inside us. There's a certain energy that's made available to us. And I'm just warning you, it'll mess up your finances if you're not careful. It'll mess up our youth if we're not careful. It'll bring that disease of unfaithfulness. It could affect us morally. And let's just be careful at this time of the year. Why? Spring is in the air. I am glad that my memory of spring is my mama's sheets that she hung in the backyard. My memory of spring is not drunken parties, proms, the loss of morality. I just had to tell you about my mom's sheets. That when I'd go to bed at night, I'd pull them up close and I'd go, so refreshing. Felt good on the body. Comfortable. Secure. The cleanness of spring. And that's what spring ought to be for the Christian. A clean time. A fresh time. A time of new beginnings, noticing nature and what God does. Let's be careful of spring fever. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.